our home missions, you know, that we have young pastors and their families who are planting churches in cities where there's a certain amount of danger. You know, there are inner cities in America which are more dangerous than foreign mission fields. And so we need to pray for our missionaries. So I hope that you will do that, especially as we are taking up our Lottie Moon offering for home missions over the next several weeks. Well, we are continuing in our series of sermons on the I Ams of Jesus. You know, who did Jesus say he is? And I have had a bad cold this week. I was fine in Haiti and came home, and I don't know if I caught it on the plane or whatever, but if the voice is a little hoarse this morning, I guarantee you it was a whole lot worse on Wednesday and Thursday. And so we're getting a little bit better here, but please bear with the voice. We're continuing in our series of sermons on who did Jesus say he is. We've been looking at the seven I am statements of Jesus that are found in the book of John. And they're listed up here. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd, the resurrection of life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the true vine. We have gone through not only those seven I am statements, but there was an introductory sermon that I shared from the book of Exodus. Excuse me. An introductory sermon from the book of Exodus where we looked at the burning bush experience where God revealed to Moses his name, Jehovah, Yahweh. It is the name Lord that appears so many times in your Old Testament, over 1,000 times. And so we have gone through the very background of these I am statements where God reveals to Moses that he is the great I am, and Jesus is making the claim, I am the God of the Old Testament. When you read about Jehovah in the Old Testament, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when you read of Jehovah, you're reading about me, Jesus says. I am the great I am. So you would think, well, why isn't this series of sermons then over? Because we've looked at the Old Testament background. We've looked at each of the seven I am statements. What is there left in this series of sermons? And what is left is the fact that there are, in fact, that is the name of God, by the way, in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, Yahweh, meaning I am, that I am. And in the Greek, in the New Testament, when Jesus uses the I am, it's in Greek, and it's ego I me. And you see that up on the screen at the present time. What I want to share with you today is something that you're not going to find in a commentary. You're not going to find this in a Bible dictionary. You know, you can look up in a Bible dictionary the seven I am statements of Jesus, and you'll find that. Today, I want to talk about almost I am statements. These are statements in the New Testament, usually words of Jesus, that include ego I me, the statement, I am. Words of Jesus or words that are applied to Jesus, I am statements, that don't quite fit into the pattern of the I am statements. You know, the pattern of the I am statements is I am thee, and then you fill in the blank. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. The pattern of the seven I am statements in the Gospel of John is I am thee, fill in the blank. But there are a number of what I call almost I am statements. Statements that include the ego I me, the I am, but don't quite fit into that pattern that we see of the seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. And you're not going to find this, as I say, in a Bible dictionary. Don't try to look up something, you know, the almost I am statements, because as far as I know, That's a term I just created, okay? But there are some fascinating, we're going to look at nine, what I call almost I am statements today, that include the ego I me, that include the I am, words that are either from the mouth of Jesus or words that are applied to Jesus. And they're very much like those seven I am statements. And so, as we look at them today, I want us to understand it's not just the Gospel of John that includes statements such as this. You know, some people have argued for it that John and maybe Paul are the real founders of the Christian faith. You'll read atheists, you know, things that atheists write. Jesus wasn't really the founder of the Christian faith. We'll say Paul was. He developed this whole theology about Jesus being God. Or John created this whole theology about Jesus being God. And what I want to point out to you today, this is all through the New Testament. That these I am statements that you find in the book of John are not confined just to John. You're going to find them in the other Gospels. You're going to find things similar to them in the other Gospels. And so today, let's look at what I call the almost I am statements. And as we do it, we want to glorify and raise up high the name of Jesus. Because his name is above every name. It is at his name that every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. These I am statements help us to understand the greatness of who Jesus is. They are extraordinary claims. They are claims to divinity that Jesus is making. And as we look at what I call these almost I am statements, we will see that even more so. So let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin to look at these nine statements today, and let's lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that we can come to this place, worship you, witness a baptism, hear a testimony about a church planter, sing hymns of praise to you. You are worthy of our worship and our praise. And Father, today as we gather together for worship. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to realize more than ever before, this Jesus we worship is God in the flesh. That, Father, we should not be impassionate or without passion when it comes to our worship. That, Father, he is truly God, God truly God. And that, Father, he is worthy of our obedience, worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise, worthy of all of our love, worthy, Father, of being the very focus, the very center of our lives. And, Father, forgive us when we have focused on other things in this world. Forgive us, Father, when we have taken too lightly the commands of your Son, Jesus. Forgive us, Father, when we have made other things the priorities of our lives. Help us to lift up high the name of Jesus today, that he be our first top priority in life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at some of these almost I am's. And the first, which is probably the least of these that is convincing, but is John 13:13. I'm going to get through the one that probably is the least convincing of them. But here we read this claim that Jesus says to be teacher and Lord. In John 13, he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what ego I me. That is what I am, teacher and Lord." Jesus, it doesn't fit the pattern. You know, he doesn't say, "I am the teacher," or "I am the Lord." okay? But it does use the ego I me, the I am at the end. And when Jesus says he is teacher, that does not necessarily have connotations of divinity, but Lord could. Granted that there are times when a human master is called a Lord, and it could simply mean that, but in this case, it could also mean that Jesus has something more in mind than just being an earthly master. We can interpret that one different ways. This one is not the most convincing of the almost I am statements, but the others are far more. The second one I want you to look at is Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. The setting is Jesus is walking on water. His disciples are in a boat. They see this shadowy figure off in the distance coming toward them. They see Jesus beginning to walk on water, but they don't recognize at first that it's Jesus. At first they think it is a ghost. And so we read in Matthew 14, 25, 26, 27, these words. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost. They said and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. Your English translations will say, it is I. But it simply says, ego I me. I am. I believe that it says, it is I, do not be afraid. Mark chapter 6, 49 through 50 is also a parallel of this text. Now, some people will argue Jesus is just making the statement, hey guys, it's me. But I think he's saying far more than that. Here is Jesus walking on water, kind of evident that he's not just your normal guy walking down the street, right? He is walking on water. And he says to the disciples, take courage. I am. Do you think it's a divinity claim? I mean, here he is walking on water. This is, he's obviously something more than a man. Here is an I am statement, or an almost I am statement, that is trying to convey this man is not just your regular man. He is not just the normal Joe walking down the street. This is one who has the very power of divinity among him. And the translation of it could very easily be, fear not, I am. I am the great I am. Wow. Listen to another one of these almost I am statements. John chapter 10, verse 36 through 38. Jesus actually quotes himself in this text. Beginning with about verse 36, it says, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, I am God's son? Now, we don't have a direct statement here, Jesus saying, I am God's son. But he's saying to his critics, why are you accusing me of blasphemy because I said, I am God's son? I mean, it's pretty clear that at some point in time in the past, he had said, I am God's son. You know, there are people who will say, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, they haven't read the scriptures. They haven't read the I am statements. They haven't read the almost I am statements. Jesus makes it very clear in this text that at some point in time previously, he just clearly said, I am God's son. Why are you persecuting me because I said that? You consider that blasphemy? It's not blasphemy, it's true. John 10, 36 through 38. Let's look at another. Mark 14. Oh, and look, notice we've had some from Matthew and Mark already, not just John. Mark 14, 60 to 62. Here, again, Jesus claims to be not only the Son of God, but also the Messiah. The setting is Jesus is at his trial. He is on trial before Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. And we read in verse 60, the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus a question. Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. And again the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus says, ego I me. I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Oh my goodness. Jesus never claimed to be God. Wait, let's take a look at this one. Let's really take a look. Are you the Son of God? I am. Ego I me. And he is also talking about being the Son of Man, that you will see at the right hand of the Mighty One coming on the clouds of heaven. That is a reference back to a prophecy in Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. You know, to say you're a Son of Man in Hebrew jargon, it's just to mean you're a man. But when you say you're the Son of Man, you are making reference to something very specific. You are making reference to Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. And here's a prophecy of Daniel. Listen to what Daniel says. I was watching in the night visions, had a vision at night, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Daniel is predicting that there is one who will be the Son of Man, who is eternal, who will be a king over all the nations, over all of the world. All nations, languages, peoples will serve him. His dominion will be everlasting. This kind of sound like Jesus? This is what Jesus is claiming to be in our text. Before Caiaphas, Caiaphas asks him, who are you? At first he's silent, but then he said, tell me, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus says, ego I me, I am. And you will see me, the Son of Man, sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, coming in the clouds of heaven. It's a direct reference to Daniel. It doesn't fit the pattern of the seven I ams of John, where of the Gospel of John, where it says, I am the door. It doesn't actually say, I am the Son of Man, or I am the Son of God. But that's what he's claiming here, isn't he? It is an almost I am statement, which says the very same kind of thing as those I am statements, but it's just not in the same form. Wow, there's more. Matthew 27, verse 43. Matthew 27, 43. Here Jesus claims to be the Son of God. Oh, I'm sorry, his critics tell us that he claimed to be the Son of God. Listen to what it says in Matthew 27, 43. Here are teachers of the law. They are mocking Jesus as Jesus is on the cross. And they say, he trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Wow, that even fits the pattern. I am the Son of God. His critics are quoting Jesus, even though we do not have it recorded specifically Jesus saying, I am the Son of God. We've been given testimony already that he has said those words, and now his critics are admitting this is what he claimed. He claimed to be the Son of God. So the Bible doesn't make clear that Jesus ever claimed that, huh? It's right here. It's right here. Matthew chapter 7, 43. You know, when the folks you agree with and the folks you disagree with agree to the same facts, you can probably count on the fact that the fact is a fact. Amen? I hope you followed that rationale. But here, Jesus has claimed to be the Son of God, and his critics have understood that he claimed to be the Son of God because he is the I Am. The I Am. Let's look at another. John chapter 4, 25 through 26. Here, Jesus claims to be the Messiah or the Christ. He is in his conversation with the woman at the well. In verse 25, the woman says, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I who speak to you, ego I me. I am. I who speak to you, am he. It's actually in this form, I am, with a kind of a parenthetical phrase in between. I, the one who speaks to you, am. That's how it's formatted in the Greek. I, the one who speaks to you, am. He uses the ego I me once again. He's claiming he is the Christ. And at the same time, I believe he is claiming that he is more than the Christ. He is claiming the I Am. I Am. The way he has phrased it here, it's more than just I am the Christ. It is I, the one who am speaking to you, am. And so it's another one of those almost I am statements. It's so amazing. We see these things just all through the Gospels. Look at John chapter 8, verse 23. Jesus is in dialogue with the Pharisees. And he says, you are from below. I am from above. You are this world. I am not of this world. What is Jesus claiming? He's saying, I'm not just a mere human, folks. I'm from heaven. I came from heaven. I'm not just from this world. He is making a claim to be otherworldly. Okay? And he uses the I am in this. I am from above, and I am not of this world. Even if this is not technically an I am statement, he is claiming divinity here in his use of this almost I am statement. He is claiming, I'm not like you guys. You're of this world. You were born of this world. I am from heaven. I am very different. It's a very real claim. Look, again, here's another passage. John, also in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 has a few of these in them. John 8:29, 8 through 29. Jesus claims again to be the Son of Man, again from Daniel 7. Listen to what Jesus says here in John 28. And notice, you know, we have kind of covered Daniel before, but listen to what he says. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Now, the NIV puts a kind of a parenthetical note that's not in the Greek. It says, you know, I am the one I claim to be. Okay? That's not in the Greek. It's just ego I am. It's there to kind of help explain what Jesus is saying in the translation. But what Jesus actually says is, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. That's where he stops the sentence. That you'll know that I am. That name of Jehovah, that name of God. He says, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone. I always do what he pleases. Jesus is saying he's, again, fulfilling that promise of Daniel 7 to being that Son of Man. He uses that phrase here in verse 28, to be the Son of Man, not just a Son of Man. When you have lifted up or crucified the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Why? Because he's going to be raised from the dead. And that's going to be the proof that Daniel's prophecy has come through in Jesus. Perhaps I've saved the very best one for last. John 8, 58, 59. Jesus, again, is talking to his critics, and he says, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, Abraham lived quite a few years before Jesus. Depending on your Bible chronology, you know, 1,600 years, perhaps, beforehand, Jesus claimed to live before Abraham. He is saying, hey folks, I'm eternal. He is claiming to pre-exist someone who lived 1,600 years ago. You know, if any one of you said that today, we'd probably think you were a tad crazy. Jesus either is who he says he is, or he's really misguided or lying or something. I mean, Jesus does not give us any choices about his identity. You have to choose. Is he who he says he is, or is he not? And I gave the quote a couple of weeks back in this sermon series from C.S. Lewis, who said, you know, basically, we don't have this choice. We don't have a choice. People say he's a good teacher. How could he be a good teacher saying such things as this and it not be true? Jesus does not allow you to sit on a fence. He requires you to make a decision one way or the other. Either you're going to believe that he is who he says he is, or you've got to reject it. But there's no middle ground here with Jesus. And he says, before Abraham was born, I am. I think about as clearly as any of these almost I am statements. You know, it's not in the form of I am the one who existed before Abraham. You know, I am the. It's not in the form of the seven I am statements in John. But I think this is about as clear as you can get from Jesus, where he is claiming to be in equality with the Jehovah that was revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. There may be some more almost I am statements. If you find some more, I would be glad to add them to my list. Some of you, by the way, may find some that you may think you're going to find some in the King James Version. There are a half dozen or more places in the New Testament Gospels where in the King James, a different verb is translated, I am come. That they might have life and have it more abundantly, for instance. Other translations will translate that, I have come that they might have life. It's a different verb. It's not ego, I, me. It is the verb erkamai. Okay, so it's a different verb. So if you come to me and say, Pastor Larry, I found a half dozen more I am statements where it says I am come this or I am come that. It's a different verb. It's not the ego, I, me that we're talking about here. But as we look at these almost I am statements, what I call these almost I am statements, my point for us today is that these statements of Jesus are extraordinary. They're not the kind of things that just the average man on the street is going to claim. They are statements that require us to look at Jesus, and as we look at him, to see far more than a man, far more than a prophet, far more than even a man of God. These are statements that require us to look at Jesus and understand his claim to be divine. And, you know, most of us in this room are followers of Jesus. Most of us have accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord. We believe that Jesus is God come to earth in the flesh. We have reinforce that over and over again in this series on the IMs. And I wonder, do our lives reflect who we say Jesus is? We know who Jesus says he is, but do our lives reflect who we say Jesus is? And, you know, sometimes we get so comfortable in our worship and in our ways that sometimes we begin to lose focus on who it is that we worship. When Pastor Glenn and I were in Haiti last week, we were kind of, we were shocked. We were amazed. Because on a Friday night, we stopped by this church. Pastor Louis wanted to distribute some Bibles to some young converts. And he had some Bibles in the Creole language that he wanted to give them. And we met at the church. And here's a line of, I don't know, six, eight, something like that, young people, and a couple of other leaders of the church who he was giving these Bibles to. And in this little ramshackle church, and by that I mean a building that consisted of just poles, pole frame with some little sheets of metal nailed here, there, and yon, and hole in the roof, and incomplete in the back, open to the elements. There was a whole mob of people. It was a Friday night. They were having a Friday night prayer meeting at their church. And I'm thinking, try to have a prayer meeting at Westminster Baptist Church on Friday night, and to have 40, 50 people from our church for a prayer meeting on Friday night, it just wouldn't happen. Then what we discovered was they had different meetings of the church, what was it, six times a week on five different days, two times on Sunday? I mean, these, and when they were singing, wow, they were singing. They weren't very good singers. No, in fact, I didn't hear anybody in Haiti that was a very good singer, quite obvious. But boy, did they sing out. And I take that back. There was one gal at the wedding that was a pretty good singer. Okay. And Glenn was there. He was a pretty good singer. But there was a joy. And there was, you know, a passion that sometimes we in the church in America have lost. And I think it's because we know what Jesus, who Jesus says he is. But do we really believe who Jesus is? And does who Jesus really is, wow, boy, here's a sentence. And because we believe who Jesus is, does it really change us? And so this morning, I just want to challenge you today. In this whole series, we wanted to lift up high the name of Jesus. And may it change who we say he is. And on that note, I'll just share, oh, by the way, there's one more sermon in this series. Because there is one more I am message that needs to be shared. Because Jesus is the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus. It is very clear what Jesus claims, and it is up to us, Father, to trust in him and to believe that he is who he says he is, and therefore is worthy of our praise, worthy of our obedience, worthy of our love, worthy of focusing our every thought, our every action on him. Father, help us to give glory to your name. Help us to have a passion for your son, Jesus Christ, because he is who he says he is. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And the invitation is given to you today. If you need to place your trust in this Jesus, would you come today as we sing? Stand, please.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, hymn number 281.